Hello, my name is Luca. I work as a software engineer at Microsoft. And after shepherding this room the whole day, I am absolutely knackered. So please bear with me as I stumble across this talk. Somehow we'll get to the end, I promise. So talking to you about portable services. These were mentioned in the talk previous to the last, which is nice. So this is a feature that is not new. It was introduced back in 2018. So Leonard wrote a very nice intro and walk through back then in version 2.3.9. But things have changed quite a lot since then. We added a bunch of features on top and working on more. So that's why I wanted to represent about them. And also because I think it's a little known feature and it's very powerful. So I want people to know about it. So this is ideal for system services that integrate tightly with your host OS, but come with their own file system. So it's not for containers where they service the external world over the internet, so a database or something. It's for your system services that interact with the hardware or the kernel or the host. And it works really nicely with that. As we heard in the previous talk, this stuff is extremely unopinionated on how you deliver them, how you build them. That's good. That is by design, because everybody has a different build system, signing system, production system. So this doesn't care at all. You just put an image there. The only thing you need is an OS service file, systemd unit file. That's it. And anything else doesn't matter. Once you install these services, you attach them, then they look and feel like a normal systemd system service. Your standard command, systemctl, just work. The focus is on security by default, especially lately. And we support sandboxing with a predefined set of profiles, we call them, a predefined set of options to lock down your service, but you can add your own, of course. So that's the history. New features since they were introduced. Signed and verity, this is most important for me. So portable images can optionally use signed and verity. So if you have a single hosted image, so mk/squashfs, a directory, then if you also deploy a .verity, .rootash, and .rootash.p7 files, we call them sidecar, Leonard loves them, and then they are auto-discovered and used if present. If you use a GPT image, so a single file image with the partition table, then the discover partition specification is used to discover the verity metadata. And again, automatically used if present. The authentication and integrity of these images is the first and foremost thing that we focus with these things. If focusing on this means you use more disk space, so be it, that's fine. For us, security is first, everything else is second. This is especially important because if signatures are used, then your chain of trust is rooted into the firmware. You can use to sign these images a key that is in the trusted keyring, which is the one that you bake into the kernel image. Or you can use the machine keyring, that is the one that you have if you use mock, for example, and shim. Or since kernel 6.11, also the platform keyring, which is the UEFI DB. So in case you self-enroll on secure boot, you can also use the same key to sign your DMVerity images. This allows full code integrity on your system, thanks to a new LSM that just will go upstream in 6.12, code IP. We'll see more about this later. By the way, I'll show a demo at the end showing all this stuff, how it works together. This is fundamental. We get full code integrity with this stuff. Next feature, stacking images. So this is very important for the Azure use case. This is the previous talk was about them. Actually, the reason I introduced those was for portable services, but of course you can use them for the host as well. And we've seen what they are, no reason to go again over them. But the idea of the stacking here is that we borrow the idea from the Flatpak world. So you have a runtime, we call them a base image, and call them whatever you want. And the runtime is shared among many portable services. That way you can deduplicate your DMVerity volume at the device mapper level, and you pay the cost only once. Your applications, developers, and builders and deployers just deploy their applications. And me, as the OS team, deploy the base, which has libc, boost, libc++, OpenSSL, whatever else. So we service the OS level libraries. The application developers service their own images, and we stack them together. Very simple, you do attach as a extension parameter, and you pass app.row, for example, if you have an app service. And in this mode, the extension must have the units, and the base must have the OS release, and we match OS release in the base with extension release in the app, as we saw in the previous talk. You can add as many as you want to a single attach operation. And extremely importantly, we do not merge these layers at build time. We do not merge them at install time. We merge them at runtime with the read-only overlay FS. Next one, Confex. So I think it was mentioned this morning. This is the same concept as Sysext, but for configuration. So you have the HTTZ instead of the user. Why is this important? So that you can deploy configuration updates, again, that are signed, and which is important because, again, you can do configuration integrity with this in the future. And since systemd 256, you have the vpeak stuff, so you can deploy multiple versions of your confex, and we pick automatically the newest version with a version compare on the images in a specific directory. And in the next version, I hope to have refreshing of configuration. So if your portable service is configured to use confex from a vpeak directory, you hit systemctl reload, and the service, without being interrupted or restarted, will see we get a new overlay FS mounted in its own private mount namespace, and then it gets the SIGAP. Again, I will show this later. But this is work in progress. Hopefully, we get that sorted. New feature as well, I forgot the version here, I think it was 2 years ago, upgrade. So at the beginning, you had to completely detach a portable service to put a new version in. And that's kind of bad because you cannot detach without stopping the service. You cannot just restart it. And then you have to stop, detach, attach, start. That means there is a long interruption window. Lots of I/O, lots of IPC, and you cannot use the FD store, for example. That means a big interruption of service for whatever the portable service is providing. Now we have the reattach option. Basically, we upgrade the images in place. The service keeps running. It doesn't notice anything until we are done. And then we restart existing units, stop and remove the ones that are gone, no longer visible, and start new units. So the interruption window goes from managing all the images to just manage images before, and then do the short restart operation, which is much faster and allows you to use the file descriptor store as well to fast rehydration for your services. I already mentioned the vpeak stuff. Same thing for the upgrade. If you point portable CDL attached to app.v, you just drop a directory in there. New image in there. You do reattach to app.v, and we automatically find the new version. Kind of featurette. So we was mentioning in the talk before how to build this stuff. MKUSI and systemd repair to support this stuff. Again, it's by design that there is no prescribed way you must do this to build these images. But so if you are doing a single file system image, so squashfs, urfs, it's kind of trivial. Like you build a directory, do mk squashfs, and maybe verity setup format is trivial. If you're doing GPT images, that's more annoying because you have to do a partition table and everything else. So systemd repair in 255 gains some parameters, where you can just do make DDI equal portable or Sysext, and then it will do the magic GPT stuff for you, which is great. It's fantastic. MKUSI can create extensions on top of base images. So you configure it properly, and then it will create a base image for you and a Sysext, which you can deploy as a stacked portable service. Again, everything is absolutely optional. Kind of feature, new feature, but very related because we developed them for, we developed software boot explicitly for the portable service case. In 254, we have a talk last year about this, you can restart the user space portion of your operating system without restarting the kernel. So it's quite fast. And one of the things we can do with this is that given a portable service by definition runs on a separate image, not on your root FS, we can keep it running. So if you do this very easy and short configuration in your service file, then if your rootFS, your OS is updated with a software boot, this service will keep running and with no interruption whatsoever. Network, data storage, this all are still available where it happens. So your service will just continue doing whatever it needs while the OS is updated, which is kind of neat. So future features. Now, this might or might not show up upstream. They will for sure show up in my GitHub. But there's one thing that we were missing in our integrity story, which is when you attach a portable service to a system, we have to write files to the HTTC. Because we extract the unit file, and we copy it under etc systemd system.attached, and then we generate a drop-in that points to the images that you are using. This means you do not have any integrity checks. So we have integrity checks when we install it, but not when we run it. And that's kind of bad, and I'll show in the demo later why. So if you have an otherwise read-only system, this is kind of a hole. So, well, one thing I'm working on is that, and the reason why it's particularly bad for drop-ins or services is that, you know, you can have arbitrary code execution in there. You can add access start pre sh minus c whatever, and that will run on the next reboot, which is kind of not great. So the solution that I came up with is using FS Verity signatures. So if you ship a signature in the portable image, we will automatically apply to the unit that we extract. And also, if you know what the installation paths for your images are, then you can also pre-calculate your drop-in and then generate a signature for that. And so we cover all the systemd configuration files with these integrity checks. The next one, so a low-level system service very often needs to interface with Dbus or with Polkit. Very simple example, you want to provide a service over Dbus. There is no support for this right now because Dbus needs to have a configuration file in its configuration directory to see that there is a service that needs to be activatable. The solution is that you simply ship these files in your slash user, in your portable image, and we extract them to etc for Dbus with the same FS Verity stuff that I showed before for integrity, same reasons. And we have some naming constraints to avoid weird stuff. So if you have a service foo, then your Dbus file, which is usually in the form org.freedesktop.something.conf, it must contain foo. You cannot ship org.freedesktop.systemd1 and override the systemd configuration files. And now let's look at the demo. Of course, because I am a coward, I recorded the demo, I'm not doing it live. So what we're showing here, I just picked a random daemon I had on my system, RealmD, which is some Kerberos thing, I think. I never heard of it before, but it was very easy to hack on. It already had Polkit and Dbus support. So I made this into a portable service. So we will see it running on a Debian testing image built with MKUSI. So it has a UKI all signed, and with the DM Verity UTF-S, again, all signed, and with a new IPLSM. So the IPLSM is an LSM that allows you to write policies that enforce code signing for your code or for configuration in the future. Now, this requires a bunch of work in progress stuff for Polkit and Dbus. We have agreements on doing this, so it's just a matter of reviewing them. And there are the recipes for building the kernel with MKUSI over there. So let's switch the video. Where is my mouse pointer? Go. So we are on a Debian service, Debian system, VM. Kernel is again Linux Next, as it was 2 weeks ago or so, because of the IPLSM. As you can see, just standard Debian testing. So the root file system is DM Verity, AUFS, with the hash and signature, again built by MKUSI, fantastic tool, and some var on btrfs. And you can see that DM Verity for the rootfs is signed and enforced by the kernel. So then we also have a look, because the rootfs is read-only, we have to write some stuff. As we just saw, the solution we use in Azure is that we have some symlinks pointing to var for the directories that we want to have writable, because they have to be. In this case, we have Dbus, Polkit, and systemd attached pointing to slash var. Now this is the interesting part. IP, so this is an IP policy. We load this, it's loaded into the kernel. The first line there, so this says, do not allow any execution of any binary unless it is DMVR signed or part of InitRD. This is upstream in 6.12. The next part is for the read policy. This is not yet upstream. We use it in Azure, and we have some plans to try and upstream that. But basically, it says, apart from the first three files, which are generated locally, like the machine ID, everything else in slash etc must be integrity protected. If you try to read a file in slash etc or in one of those directories in var, and they are not verity protected, with signature enforced by the kernel, we deny that. So let's see this in. So for example, we just copy LSL to a TMP, we try to run it. Nope, you cannot run that because it in just users is signed, that's fine. In slash temple, you copy, it's not. So let's try to hack some stuff in there. We poke it, start some boot. We try to shove some horrible hack in there to see that it doesn't work. So we try to do crimes. So we do we move that into the drop-in. So in theory, this should be read over SSD. We reload. Ah, there's an error. That means we can't read that. As you see here, it didn't run. So there's no XSRP in there. There are no crimes being committed. We check also the journal. Nope, no crimes. That was denied. The read was denied there to systemd. Systemd cannot read that drop-in file. It's not allowed by the kernel. Next, so let's look at the portable service. So why is this important? Because you have a full read-only system with integrity policies. How do you deploy code? How do you deploy configuration? Portable services. So, RealmD, again built with MemKUSI, EurFS, DMVerity signed everything. So we have that. We attach it with a base image. The base we use there. Here, it's again Debian, just a Debian testing. And we have attached that. You can see we extracted a bunch of files, including the dbus integration and poke it. So now if you do busctl, we haven't started the service. We can dbus broker already knows it's there. The moment we extracted the file in the right location, dbus knows it's there. It can be activated. Standard system service. So, how do you, if you have a, in this case, as usual, you have a service and a command line to interact with it, right? That's a standard way of deploying these services, services like systemd, systemctl. RealmD is the same. There's a Realm binary that you invoke on the CLI to interact with it. So the way to use these binaries is you use the same image that was attached to the system with systemd run. It's exactly the same stuff, same implementation, same DMVerity protections. Systemd run minus T for pipe into the console. And then we pass the same exact same images. And we run Realm discover minus V, which is connects to some network stuff. Try to see if there's anything configured. Of course not, it's a VM. I don't have any Kerberos, I don't know how to do that. But it works. So we activated RealmD over dbus, and RealmD connected to Network Manager and did its thing, and there was nothing. So this all works quite nicely with dbus integration. You can see it's attached there. So the base is shown as a separate image for reasons. Now we attach something else. This is a random script. I'm showing this because we are using the same base image. Here. Different application, same base image, and we attach it to a system. There is no fourth image. We are not duplicating the base. The base is the same. We look it up by rootash, so we know it's the same, it's the right one, and we just reuse it at the device mapper level. Of course, it's a private mount, how it's supposed to be. It's remounted privately in its namespace, that's how it's supposed to be, but it's the same device mapper, so you don't pay the verity cost twice. It's kind of expensive. So now we have this service, it's just a stupid zip, and it works, and RealmD also works, it's there. And now the configuration files. So we have some configs. We want to update the configuration of this portable service, RealmD, live, as we are running it without interrupting it. So we move this prepare configs in the .v directory. The others two, 0.1, 0.2. We do a reload, and this takes a while because it's verity. We need to move that asynchronously, not done yet. Now, the first line is when RealmD started. There were only configuration files in slash user, two of them. The reload, 30 seconds later, same process, 6:30, no interruption, no restart. it also found the etc realm D, which I added with context. So I deployed a configuration file. It's not on the host. I cannot see on the host. This is a private mount. That's how we want it. But the service could see that. And without any interruption, same process. Now we remove it, simulate a rollback, reload again, and check again the log. It reloaded, and this time it's gone again. So this just shows a simple rollback of the config. And yep, that's it. Okay, so back to the slides. Right, I'm doing perfectly fine on time. Questions? Oh, thank you. Any questions? Yes.
So, great demo. The systemd run part for the CLI tools, I mean, kind of verbose, like.
Yes, it is very verbose. I don't know what to do there. I don't care too much, but if we had some nice abstraction for that, we thought about it sometimes. It would be nice if you had some way to run commands against a predefined portable so you can do the images automatically. Yes, we need some porcelain there, absolutely. This can be run very verbose. We use it with scripts, so it doesn't matter too much. But yes, you're right, we need some porcelain there. It would be nice to have, not just there, but other commands as well. System analyze, we want to have some stuff. We didn't manage to, but yes, it would be nice to have. Send us PRs. Any other questions? Yes, please, continue.
I'll keep going if no one else is.
So in your demo system, was, you know, I keep asking this question for people, was Etsy persistent? Like, I guess I'm curious for in your model, right? Like, I understand the value of IPE. Even denying, like, if somehow you have some process that's root on the system and writing into a tempofs, I get that. But yeah, I guess that was a baseline mechanics question. Like, in the model you're promoting here, is the system kind of otherwise stateless apart from the portable
it's
services?
It's completely read-only. There is state in var, some stuff there, like images, you need to deploy them somewhere. So the state goes in var. And you have some things that, you know, I showed the symlinks. So the etc is fully read-only in our system. We deploy the configs, we deploy the sysx, the portables in var. They have to go somewhere. But the configuration is read-only, apart from the things that have to be writable that are symlinked to var. That is not exactly that, but the structure is different, but the concept is the same that we use in Azure for 5 years now. 2 minutes.
Have you tried putting very more complex services such as Libvirt or Incus into portable services?
We have very complicated services running like this in Azure, so yes. So nice thing about portables is that you decide what your security baseline for the sandboxing is. It can be as little as nothing, just the images, or it can be completely secure with a dynamic user, private user namespaces, network namespaces, or anything in between. In my use case, I have like three profiles that I use. One is they run as root, one is they run completely unprivileged, and one is in the middle. They run with some supplementary groups and with some ambient capabilities. But that's the nice thing about this stuff. You make your own, you choose your own destiny here in regards to sandboxing. And it can be as complicated as you want. We have stuff that manages, you know, an FPGA, taking some PCI stuff from the kernel and doing incredibly complex stuff that does everything. So yes, you can. I mean, I've never tried Incus, so I don't know, but you can do complex stuff. Yes, absolutely. 1 minute left. All right, well, thank you very much.